Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad. Fair enough. I'm proud of you, Brad. That's pretty good. Not bad. So, yes, we are back. This week in Rico.
We're all experts now.
I got to tell you, though, still love that song. It feels more relevant to my life now than you could ever imagine. I tell you.
I want to believe that Mexico is like Canada was in How I Met Your Mother, where the culture of Canada is 13 years behind America.
That is correct. Yeah, it's nothing has changed. It's the 90s here. Or like the early 2000s. In some ways, that actually is true. Like there are things you're like, okay, but like, you know, that fashion has left, like it's gone. They're like, not down here. It's not. Like we're still doing it. I'm like, okay, this is cool. It's fine, man. Like,
do you need me to go to a thrift store and find some like Dallas Cowboy starter jackets to send down your way?
If you don't mind, if you have the time. Okay, yeah, the time. Hell yes. Let's do it. As Brad so eloquently played the song, implicating that there is in fact a RICO charge on the table, coming from, Fani Wilson's DA's office in the great state of Georgia. We're going to talk about it. We got a lot to talk about Georgia. So let's get right into it. Look, the Georgia indictment hits Trump and 18 other people with, a lot of charges for mainly spawning from campaign interference in the 2020 presidential election. So I'll ask this question and then I'm going to pull up the sort of the list of indictments. Did this feel like enough? Did it cover enough? Were there any big shocking news of like who was indicted, who wasn't indicted? Did any of that like – did that jump out to you, or did this feel like sort of like down the list as you expected?
No, this actually of all the indictments, I mean, this felt the most comprehensive just because of how many charges were listed and how many people were on it. And besides that, there's 41 unindicted co-conspirators mentioned in these charging documents, which means that there could still be yet more indictments to come. Pursuant to the Georgia case, probably not a ton of like big names in those 41 unindicted co-conspirators. I would imagine it's a lot more of like the fake electors and a lot of Georgia state folks that helped further things along. So the Georgia case, obviously the January 6th case is like the most like the biggest charges, right? Like the Jack Smith January 6th case is number one. This is probably number two, just because it's so
absolutely
like there's so much evidence and there's so and it's so overt, and it kind of ties into the January 6th deal. And then I would say like the documents case is number three, and it's only that high because of again there's just so much evidence to point to his guilt, in that instance, But yeah, it's pretty great. I love it, especially if it's later in the summer. It's pretty fucking awesome. It's also pretty cool, just because it leads to potentially hilarious timing with the first Republican presidential debate next week.
Yeah, they got that shit in perfectly.
Well, and not only that, but Trump could even use this to his advantage just by stealing all of the oxygen in the news cycle by turning himself in, either on the day of the debate or the day after the debate, so that no one's talking about what happened in the debate. Like
that's
weird. It's weirdly advantageous for him. It is the only way in which it is advantageous for him to be indicted on numerous felony counts.
Yeah, like I hadn't thought about that. Like, that's actually a very good point, is that you quite literally could end any conversation if the debate, which is next Wednesday, by the way, we will not unfortunately be live covering it because apparently Brad has a life. But what an asshole. But we will have a show late in the week so that we our show will be after the debate. So we'll have our thoughts on it. But you're right. If that debate turns out to be like, oh, shit, Donald Trump got dunked on, blah, 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 because he's not going, by the way, or he seems to be implicating or sort of teeing up that he's not going to go.
I think he's outright said that he's not going, and I don't think anyone's expecting him to show up.
Yeah, I mean – apparently he's going to do a Tucker Carlson interview instead, which is weird because Tucker Carlson is not a person on TV, right? Like, no, I mean, quite literally, like
he's literally a person who has a show on a social media platform. You are correct.
And like people are like, oh, this is going to be a popular show on social media. Nobody cares. Like, yeah. Like, here's the thing. TV is really important to these guys. And the second they're not on TV, their careers are dead. Like, they're dead. Bill O'Reilly was the biggest thing fucking on Fox until he wasn't. And then it was like, who the fuck is Bill O'Reilly? He's doing his show out of his garage or whatever. Nobody cares or watches it. Same with Tucker Carlson. Sycophants watch it, but that's not – it doesn't get picked up and talked about. And stuff. It just doesn't. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. If that – for some reason that debate goes really well for somebody on that stage – Vivek or DeSantis, not likely, or Christie, who I think is probably going to have the night. If that's my guess. And by the way, Brad told you, like, dude, he told you, and we'll talk about it. He was 100% right. But we'll get to that. If somebody has a good night, or that Trump has a bad night because that person has a good night and slamming him, you're right. He could just turn himself in the next day and be like, we're not talking about anything. Like,
yep.
Knock it off. Shit, you're right. If he turns himself in that day, it still eats up all of the oxygen. But I think the day after the debate is a hell of a
And if he turns himself in that day, he guarantees that the first couple questions of the debate are about him, and he's not even going to be there. Like it's kind of stupid how everybody is just going to kind of walk into this brick wall. Like, the candidates are going to walk into it, the moderators are going to walk into it, like they're just going to put it up on a tee, when in reality, because this dude's not there, like, if this was a legit presidential debate, you wouldn't really talk about him, except insofar as, like, this is why he fucked up when he was the president for 4 years, and this is why you should elect me instead of him.
Yeah. You know, like, he's gonna be the central figure.
In a sane world, yeah. In a sane world, he wouldn't be the focus of attention in a Republican primary debate because of outside stuff going on. But this is not a sane world.
No, it's not. It's gonna suck for Republicans. It's gonna be entertaining as fuck for us.
I'm gonna say you love to see it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do. I do. I enjoy watching these guys flail and run directly into a brick wall, as you said. But it will be interesting, right? Because DeSantis, and I don't want to stick too much on this because I want to get back to the indictments, but DeSantis is running third now at like latest pollings in the Republican primary, and Vivek is running number two. Vivek is running number two.
I can't – remind me to talk about Vivek when we get to the debate strategy portion, when we talk about DeSantis, because I heard him say something batshit crazy this week, and I'm curious to get your thoughts in case you hadn't seen it.
Oh, okay. I don't think I have. I saw a clip of him muted of him doing "Lose Yourself" by Eminem, and I was like, end of this. I'm not watching this. I don't want to hear anything.
No. This was a policy conversation, it's a little wonky, but it still blows my fucking mind.
Okay,
but we'll talk about it. We're talking about one of my favorite things ever. So, a couple other highlights from this indictment. You know me, I love irony when it happens in real life. And let me just fucking tell you, the irony of seeing fucking Rudolph Giuliani's name on an indictment on the same thing with the RICO case. I love it.
It's
I love it.
I did like his response. Rudy's response,
he got so bad.
He was like, this is not what a RICO case is for. And they're like, yes, it is. Like, no, dude.
In the state of Georgia, it is.
Yeah. And apparently, I got to give Chris Hayes, his credit, because he was talking to lawyers in Georgia about like their RICO laws, because there's like they require a bit less like the threshold to indict somebody under a RICO charge is far less. Not far less, but it is a bit less under Georgia, right? It's a little bit broad because I think they really go after like gang violence and shit like that, right? Like that's what they use it for, and to quite a lot of success. What's interesting is even Hayes was like, I mean, this it doesn't seem like exactly fair, is it? Like this, like this seems kind of fucked up. Like, you know, there's definitely some constitutional like issues here. And he was like, that does seem messed up. And the guy from Georgia, the lawyer, was like, yeah. And? Like, who gives a fuck? Dude, that's the law. You know, like, you shouldn't have done that. Don't do the crime down here. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But Hayes called it out. Actually, like, it feels a little fuzzy.
It does feel a little fuzzy, but it's actually also really interesting because the point was also made that, like, this is a very weird situation. And we can kind of tie this to, like, compare this with the Jack Smith case that they have. So, like, the Jack Smith case is outlining, you know, very specific charges that they're levying against Trump. Like, here's things he did that and his co-conspirators did that were illegal under the law. And they're going to tell other, you know, bits of the scheme to steal the election as part of that. But that's going to be to inform these other charges, like whether Trump is guilty or innocent weighs on how well they can prove that he committed these specific crimes. Mm-hmm. Kind of the advantage that you have and the beauty of a RICO charge or something like this is that everything that they did, no matter how mundane and whether the actual act that they performed, you know, is legal or not, is in furtherance of
exactly
of this criminal conspiracy.
Exactly.
And that's where RICO is, you know, in and of itself is kind of fuzzy, but we talked about, you know, the possibility of levying a RICO statute against him, you know, several months ago. Mm-hmm. And for something like this, it almost kind of is something you need to do if you have the ability to do it, because what are the crimes being committed? Their phone calls, their threats, their you know, their backroom deals, their things of that nature.
Yeah, like it's interesting, right? Because how we think about crimes is I do X, that is the crime, and then like we move on, right? And like you get convicted or you get indicted and convicted, yada yada. But this idea, it's funny that the idea of what's happening seems to be like quite foreign to like conservatives. They're like, no, but like, how are these things connected? Like, you know, like they're freaking out because this is RICO charge, right? But in reality, you should totally understand it because you are steeped in the idea of conspiracy. Like that's this is a real conspiracy. Conspiracies aren't fake. A conspiracy isn't automatically a conspiracy theory, right? Like they're very real. Where a couple of people get into a room and they go, we're going to do this thing. And that's quite literally what they did. And they farmed out little bits and pieces of the plan to other people who may or may not have known about all of the plan, but they knew about one part. And the way the RICO charge works is to bring all of those charges, or grab everybody, because you don't want to try to go after somebody for making a phone call. But you want to go after and say, they made a phone call in furtherance to push for fake electors and blah, 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 blah. Boom. That's where you get to Trump. And that's where you get this sort of tentacle, like a Hydra type of thing, right? That's the whole point of it, is that you should understand it because you guys are always like, but then Hillary Clinton talked to this person. And da, da, da. Like, yeah, like those things aren't real. This is a real version of that. So don't be shocked.
Yeah.
It's happening. And again, there's massive amounts of evidence. If you were making the argument of like the fake electors is not like that's not a big deal. I don't understand how you can't think it's a big deal. They literally tried to push people until they referred to themselves as fake electors in emails and in text messages. Well, we got to get the fake electors together so we can blah, blah, blah. They know they're not real. Those people should get rolled up along with Trump and everybody else and Mark Meadows and all these other guys. Because they are in furtherance of the ultimate conspiracy, which is to steal the election from Joe Biden and give it to Donald Trump.
And you know they're scrambling because, like, the initial reaction to this in conservative media, let's just say they don't have their fucking the good bullets in the gun to kind of defend against this. Like the famous one that's going around is Jeanine Pirro out here saying like that there's some appreciable huge difference between I want you to find me 11,000 more votes and I need you to find me 11,000 more votes.
So we're
when it's coming from the fucking president.
Right. Will someone rid me of this, you know, meddlesome priest, yeah. Right? Like, come on, yeah. Well, I didn't say to kill him. I just said, well, maybe. Like, dude, Trump is a lot of things, but he is a criminal through and through. Right. Like, even the most basic drug dealer knows, man, you don't hold the drugs and the money. You set up a system so one person takes the money and then another guy has the drugs. Like, this shit is not hard. It's not hard to
except he does, because again, everyone knows the part where he's talking to, I think it's Raffensperger.
Yeah, it's Raffensperger.
And asking for the votes. Everyone forgets the part that comes after that, where he says, if you don't do this, it could be very bad for you.
Yeah.
You know, like a vague threat, you know, not implicit as to what he's referring to, but just, you know, hey, this will be bad. If you don't do this, it'll be bad for you.
Yeah, it's not that vague. Like, it's not that vague, man. Like, I'd be ashamed if something happened in your shop. Like, you know, like maybe somebody will come in and break your legs. It'd be a shame. It'd be a real shame. But look, this is not a small deal. I know it's not a small deal because I know Mark Meadows, who's trying to get his case moved to the federal court. He's like, I got to get the fuck out of here. This is crazy.
Well, a lot of them are going to try to do this, and the rumor is that Trump is going to as well. Here's what's interesting to me. So
it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't really make a difference.
No, it doesn't. And when everyone saw this, they're like, oh, like that's going to suck. It's going to take away from the Georgia prosecutors. No. If they go to federal court, the only difference is it moves to a different courthouse. It gets overseen by a federal prosecutor, and it has a federal jury.
No, it's got a
or not federal prosecutor, federal judge.
A federal judge. Yeah, Fonnie Wilson is still the prosecutor.
Right, and that was the point I was going to make, is that the same prosecutors are still going to be trying the case. If they're convicted, still convicted of a Georgia state crime, which means that there's no presidential pardon power. And also, fun fact that I did not know, because that was another thing I worried about, is like, well, even if he gets convicted, like Brian Kemp could, in theory, pardon him. No. Nope. Apparently, in Georgia, the governor does not have unilateral pardon power. Not pardon powder. They have a bipartisan pardon committee who is the arbiter on whether pardons are handed out or not.
And let's add a little extra sauce to that. You still have to serve, I believe it's 1/3 of your.
Oh, no.
Or
not even. It's not even that.
Or
you can't.
5 years?
No. It's not even that. You can't apply for a pardon until 5 years after your sentence has been served. After the full sentence has been served.
So I guess he'll do that from heaven? I don't know.
Like, heaven, huh? that's an ambitious request.
I mean, I assume it's heaven. I mean, none of it's real, so who cares? You're all in a box.
the downside of this is that the RICO statutes in Georgia carry a minimum 5-year sentence, but that doesn't require jail. So like it is possible that Trump could be convicted and be sentenced for at least 5 years, but he could also technically get probation from the judge based on who the judge is.
Right. Which by the way, when it comes to trying to circumvent democracy and he's a former president, that's not acceptable to me. Like that's just fundamentally not acceptable. He has to look, I'm not even mad if you put him in like a rich guy prison. Like I get it. Right. Like, look, in my dream, it would be San Quentin or some shit like that, a local Georgia prison. Right. With gang members and Gen Pop. Right. Let that hair grow out. Let's see what's going on 2 weeks after he gets in there. Right. I'd be fine with that. That would obviously be if I had my druthers. That's what I would love. However, I am well aware that that's not going to happen. So if you're like, he's got to go to a rich guy prison where they have steaks for dinner, that's fine. Is he in there? Cool. Does he have access to social media? No. Does he have access to call anybody and just talk to anybody? No. Good. Everything's got to be run through a system? Great. That's what I want. Just put that. Just put him away. Guess what? He ain't gonna survive for 5 years. What? He gonna be fed vegetables? He can't handle that. Like, he's not used to that. He's gonna die. So, yeah, just put him away. I don't care if it's fancy pants prison where he gets to golf and play tennis every day. Don't give a shit. Go to jail. It's fine. It's still jail, dude. And people still, even when they're in those places, they still would rather be home. And that's all I want. Yeah. But being at Mar-a-Lago for 5 years where he's tweeting out or truthing all the time, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Nobody, no, I'm not trying to hear that shit. I want that dude in prison. If it can't be hardcore prison, again, I wish it was. If it can't be, it's okay. But you got to go to rich guy prison. And that's okay.
I just don't want to see or hear him anymore.
Yeah. I don't want anyone to have access to him unless you're like, unless you're some sort of close family member. I don't want to hear any like, he's tweeting and then someone else is tweeting it for him. I don't want any of that. I want to hear nothing from that dude. Nothing. Die in prison.
His sons would do that. Ivanka wouldn't even go visit him, I don't think, in prison. She'd be like,
ah, finally.
Set the hand off those divorce papers.
Melania, you mean.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yes. Sorry. Freudian slip.
Yeah, yeah, you did. I mean, ironically, until you said the divorce papers, it totally worked. It totally worked. Oh, no. No. Melania is not going. You can guarantee. Look, she's not going to wait to prison to serve those divorce papers. Are you fucking kidding me? She's probably going to go down to like fucking the Caribbean is like, sign this. Like, one person, I'm out. Done. She's not waiting, you know. She's not waiting. Get out of here. She can't wait for that dude to go to prison. Like we talked about, Mark Meadows is trying to move his to the federal court. Again, we explain why that will – it's like quite literally the federal court is just like three blocks away from the court they're going to be in now. So it doesn't mean anything.
But by the same token, I do really want him to be tried in Fulton County because those are the people that he directly – most tried to impact. Like 100%. Part of what he's being charged with is what he did to Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss and fucking, you know, excoriating them in the media.
Right.
And all of his fucking cronies. And for nothing, as Rudy Giuliani admitted several weeks ago, they knew it was bullshit.
Yeah.
And they still fucking did that shit. So fuck you.
Again, this guy admitted to lying. Like, he admitted to lying. And then people were like, nah, that was a real case. Like, yo, your guy was like, nah, it was bullshit. And his answer was, yeah, it wasn't true, but it didn't hurt them. Yeah, they had people trying to kill, like threatening to kill them.
They had to literally fucking like move their home, quit their job.
Yeah. But for Rudy Giuliani, it doesn't matter. Cause like, who gives a fuck? Guy's a dirtbag, man. Another one. He should die in prison. Also, speaking of Mark Meadows, was caught offering money to speed up election interference in this case. So apparently Mark Meadows is accused of offering financial assistance to state investigators doing signature matching if they move faster as to finish by January 6th of that year. So he was pushing for a signature matching, which involves looking at absentee ballots, which need to have a signature on the envelopes in an effort to see if any of those were improperly filled out. Now, here's the thing. Fundamentally, I don't have a problem with wanting to make sure that these absentee ballots are filled out properly, right? So they can be counted. Mm-hmm. However, this is a signal to me how full of shit they were. They are hunting for ballots to push out. Not that there was like people like voting illegally or dead people. No, they're literally trying to get legal voters on technicalities. That should tell you that they didn't really have some major conspiracy, like proven conspiracy about like fake people or fake ballots, or they didn't have any of that. They were just like, hey, can you look and see if like maybe like five of them are wrong? Like, we just toss them and then they can make a big hay out of it. That's what they were trying to do. So they didn't actually have any information. They were just fishing. That's a fishing expedition. And I'm not saying you shouldn't look at those things. Again, they're fishing.
And just asking for that is not the crime, but when you offer to give them money to kind of speed up the process, like that's where – because then it looks like your campaign is leading on you know, leaning on the other folks. My other favorite bit, by the way, in this story is that apparently, like, because Meadow's been so, like, low to the ground for the last several weeks, all of Trump's, like, close allies think that he's flipped. So, like, when they talk about him in text messages, they use, like, a rat emoji.
Yeah, I heard that. Fuck that guy. The guy's like, dude, I'm on the team. They're like, yeah, are you?
I don't think he wants to be. Believe me, I think if Mark Meadows is offered a good deal to flip and testify, I think he's doing that in a fucking heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
Good for him. Good, because I want him to plea, but I want him to dime out Trump. But they're like, yeah, but you're still gonna do a year in jail. Like, damn it, like, that's what I want. Like, he shouldn't get off scot free. But I would love to see him knife Trump in the back on the way out. That'd be fun. Because I think a lot of people will eventually do it.
It's so funny, Mark Meadows, because that dude, people forget, because it's easy to forget. That dude was the head of the Freedom Caucus. Like he was basically just fucking, he was Jim Jordan. You know, Jim Jordan, his lieutenant. Mark Meadows had a lot of stroke in Congress. He could have been a guy potentially that could have challenged Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House, perhaps.
100% he could have.
And instead he decided to take that chief of staff job, and look what happened.
I don't know how many examples you need as a politician to see the people who have been driven over in the Trump bus during their political career, in the short political career that is Donald Trump's. Why would you hitch your star to that wagon, dude? Like, why? Oh, you know, he's destroyed a lot of people. But it'll be, for me, it'll be different. Like, it will not. Like, it will not. Like, it's not going to be different. You're going to get screwed, man. You're going to get screwed. Look, I love it. You know, like, it's great for us. But I just don't understand, as, like, an adult with eyes. Like, how are you not, like, oh, yeah, remember his lawyer got fucked? And that other guy?
Remember his campaign manager went to prison?
Right, like... Why do you keep joining up? Like, it's dumb. Oh, maybe he'll pardon me. Dude, you better hope so.
He wins. Yeah. So it's a pretty big roll of the dice there, buddy.
Yeah.
Hope that doesn't come up snake eyes for you.
Right. It's like, coups only go two ways, man. You perform a coup, it's successful, you become president. Yay. And all the terrible things that come behind that, right? All the people you kill that you disagree with and everything else, or, you know, push out of the government. Or you lose the coup and it's not successful. Then they just hang you in the town square. Like, that. Those are the only two options. And in America, they're not necessarily going to do that. They're just going to throw you in prison. Okay. I mean, all you guys are like 60 plus, man. Like, you ready for prison? Even rich guy prison, still prison, man. Fuck that.
It's true.
Next up, this is a great story. Roger Stone, who is a very weird dude in a lot of ways, but also, as Chris Hayes said last night, definitely not a guy with the weirdest, creepiest affect you've ever heard. Roger Stone is a fucking wild dude, right? November 5th of 2020, Roger Stone is dictating. This is on video. He is literally dictating a letter to whom I do not know. But he is dictating to this young man the fake electors plot. This is 2 days before the race is even called for Joe Biden. That these guys, and Roger Stone is so deeply tied to Donald Trump for decades. Quite literally, he was pardoned when he was convicted during Trump's first time as president. Hopefully, the last. He pardoned Stone like just days before he left office. So Stone
months before he left office. I don't know if you remember, like, when he pardoned Stone, that was actually right in the middle of the presidential race against Joe Biden. Like, and people were shocked that he did it, because it was something that, you know, like just, it seems like such an overt abuse of political power to do it. And, you know, Chris Hayes made the point that boy, it sure looks like he did it, just that Roger Snow could start running ops on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And look, that's exactly what happened. So here is Stone on video. You can watch the link that we have in the show notes. Dictating the fake electors plot, like beat for beat, exactly what they did. Again, before the election was called. They have always made the argument that after the election, they were so worried about the improprieties and blah, 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 they started kicking this idea around. Which, by the way, is still not okay. But they had made the argument that it was after that they were like, well, maybe, blah, blah, blah. By the way, many other people called this as a strategy they were going to try months before the election even happened.
I mean, right? Steve Bannon did it.
No, no.
His fucking podcast.
Yeah, no, he also did. But no, what I'm saying is political analysts were like, this is the way that they're going to try to steal the election if Joe Biden wins, which is go to the states, push it to the states. The states would eventually, because they are 2/3 Republican, they would vote, their legislatures would vote, and that would kick it to the House. And then, of course, you'd have President Trump again. I mean, people called that. But here is Stone saying, we need to get a slate of electors from Republicans in these, in these particular states, yada, yada. So they were well aware. Again, I'm not sure how you don't understand what the conspiracy is. They're literally on tape committing it. Like, they're literally in a dark room typing on a keyboard, what are the evil things we're going to do on Wednesday, right? Like, they're doing it. It's very obvious. He is not a person listed in the indictment.
Well, he could be. We just don't know, because he could be one of those unindicted co-conspirators, and they could easily be preparing an indictment for him.
Oh,
as time goes along. As
well. I got to tell you, though. I got to tell you. If he gets indicted and convicted in Georgia and he can't get pardoned and that guy rots for the rest of his fucking life in a Georgia prison, I will be so happy. Holy shit. That sounds awesome. Then also, Boris Epstein is also on that list, who is very much tied to like Sinclair Broadcasting. Oh, I'd like to see him go to jail too. He's a fucking piece of shit. He doesn't give a shit about facts or reality. Also, I mean, he's a criminal, so good.
Yeah.
Let's switch back quickly to the general indictment conversation for a sec. We didn't go through the list of the actual charges.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Just know that most of the people we're naming, they get a smattering of all of these, right? Like, the key is really hilarious. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's not one person that's charged with everything. Like, everyone, it's, everyone's indictments are a bit like a Chinese menu. Like, like Donald Trump will have a number one, a number three. He'll have a 5 and a 6 and an 8 and a 9 and a 13. Like, that's what Donald Trump orders today.
100%. here are the list of charges. One, violation of Georgia's RICO, or racketeering, influence, and corruption, and Corrupt Organizations Act. Number two, solicitation of violation of oath by a public officer. Number three, false statements and writings. Number four, false statements and writings again. Number five, solicitation of violation, blah, 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 is the same one. Conspiracy to commit impersonating a public officer, fake electors. That's what that one is. Forgery in the first degree. That's also fake electors, because they wrote like fake letters saying that they were genuine electors. Conspiracy to commit forgery in the first degree. Well, I mean, it's more of the same. I think
that's kind of fucked up how the American criminal justice system can hit you for both doing the act and also planning to do the act simultaneously.
Yeah, it's a little unfair, but in this case, I'll allow it. Influencing witnesses, conspiracy to commit election fraud. That's a big one. Conspiracy to commit computer theft, conspiracy to commit computer trespass. Like, there you go. They're hitting you twice. Like, you're stealing data. You're also trespassing on this person's computer stealing.
That was interesting, because that was one that people didn't realize that people had, like, apparently members of his staff were actually given access to like the like computer voting records,
yeah,
and shit like that
in Coffee County, yeah,
right, which is fucking wild, yeah. But okay,
yeah. Again, they often accuse Democrats of trying to get election data, like they're quite literally doing it. They're like literally doing it. Oh no, it's different for us. Like no, it's not. Like you guys are criminals.
That is the funny thing, because like this doesn't hurt in the eyes of the law, but it's I find it very frustrating when this shit happens and then they run a poll, you know, with Republican voters and they're like, hey, like Trump's been indicted yet again. Like how likely are you to vote for him now? And somehow the percentage either stays stagnant or increases.
Like, and it's just yeah. like this guy rocks.
Right. And it's just like, these people aren't that stupid to think.
No, wait, that wait. Which people aren't that stupid?
Most Republican voters. I cannot believe that they think that this is all a grand conspiracy against him. I really think that they're just like, yeah, he probably did it, but I really don't care.
I think that's what
better.
It is.
Yeah. Anything's better than Joe Biden.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. I think they know that he did it. They just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. But you know, I wish I understood.
And that's also something that's like that's the worry about the Florida case as well, because of where, because they're trying to move the case to a less blue part of the state, essentially in federal mm-hmm. court. And so I think, like really in that case, specifically the documents case, I think their only hope is to basically have the jury nullify the verdict, where they get a couple. And what jury nullification is, for those that don't know, is where the jury doesn't say, oh, that they're not like we know he did it, but we don't care because we don't think he should go to prison for doing it. Like that's what jury nullification is. Like, hey, like he did the crime. It's not legal, by the way. Like it's not a tactic you're allowed to really go for. But they're hoping that they can find, I'm sure, two or three big Trump fans that they can somehow sneak onto that jury and to hang the jury, basically, so that they don't, there's a mistrial instead of him getting convicted.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get acquitted. I don't think that's possible.
Oh, No, I don't think so. it is interesting, right? Like that idea of getting a jury, like it's going to be, the evidence is going to have to be so fucking insane. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to be difficult for them to run the table, right? Like it really is. But at the same time, it's going to be super difficult for Trump to run the table, to get away from all of this.
I don't expect prosecution to get every charge that they go after, and they rarely do. Like usually when you're throwing like a wall of charges against somebody, there's a couple that you're really hoping stick. You're not expecting to get every one.
No,
and oftentimes the jury will also, you know, focus in on the bigger counts and then not really worry about the other ones so much. So,
yeah, we'll see. We shall see. Next up. Nothing is funnier than watching Ron DeSantis flail. Like it's hilarious. Ron DeSantis tells CNBC that him and his allies have largely moved on from the Disney feud. Oh, have you? Have you now?
You mean to tell me that the whole sticking it to Disney and fighting to get the, you know, to take their land away and all that shit, that was just a political stunt? Posturing done to raise his political profile?
Apparently.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it, Brad.
I am as shocked as you are. But Disney was like, no, we're done when we say we're done, bitch. Like, we're not done here. Like, have you not met us? We have Marvel money. We got all the money in the world to take this fight to you. And I love it. Because he's like, no, guys, I'm done. It's cool. It's cool now. Everybody's cool now. And Disney's like, nah. Like, absolutely not. You fucked with us. We're going to fuck with you. And we're going to try to break you before this, before you get destroyed by Chris Christie next week anyway.
Let it be a good lesson to Republican politicians all over the world. or well, really in this country, if you're gonna find and hit it a political punching bag, maybe don't try to make it like the biggest company in the country.
Yeah, one of the biggest companies in the world. Like, what are you doing? And look, I know it's obvious everybody has some fundamental like business issues with Disney. Like, you should. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? Like, don't be a corporate bootlicker, right? Like, I like those movies too, but like, fucking relax. But they're a fucking juggernaut for a reason, dude. Like, don't mess with the mouse. Yeah, that's kind of real. Like, that's kind of real. If you're going to go after Disney, you better have the fortitude and the money and the evidence to back it the fuck up. They have the best lawyers in the world, dude. You think they're going to let that guy beat them? No.
I do appreciate the, again, irony is the theme of the show today. I do appreciate the irony of a big business hitting back at Republicans, considering Republicans bend over backward and go out of their way to make sure that businesses have as much power and are as unregulated as they possibly can be, to make sure that they have all the money that they could ever want to hand out to their shareholders.
Yep. It's not so fun
when that money is spent to fuck with you.
Yeah. But they built it, right? You built that infrastructure. You built the ability for them to fight back in the ways that they're going to. Like, you've made it that way. Well, you know, like, you made your bed, and now you're going to get fucked in it. Like, it is what it is. But don't try to run. Oh, well, I'm done. You're not done. They're not done. They're not done by damn sight. So it's interesting because basically he came out with that, like, bullshit statement. And Disney's like, yeah, that's cool. Disney has filed counterclaims, including a breach of contracts claim against the board of supervisors picked by Ron DeSantis to oversee Walt Disney's special tax district. The company seeks damages over the alleged breach, as well as a court order for the district to comply with the development contracts that are at the heart of the legal fight between Disney and DeSantis. Disney's request came in a 55-page filing denying the district's board's allegations in a state-level lawsuit against the entertainment giant. Disney's filing also puts forward 12 affirmative defenses against the board, including that it lacks standing for its claims. Yeah, but like, here's the thing. They actually have a legitimate argument that you just blew up their contract for no reason. Like, you just blew it up. And we all know why you blew it up, because they were like, hey, man, you know, like, it's cool to be gay. And they're only saying that because, like, they want more corporate money by putting a gay character in a fucking cartoon. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Who cares what their reason is, right? I mean, I care from, like, that's, like, you don't actually give a fuck about this issue. But, like, there's also, like, gay people who work at Disney, right? Like, they have gay employees. They have, you know, like... They're craving corporate dick bags, granted, but at the same time, they're allowed to be like, hey man, like, it's cool to like not kick gay people while they're down. Like, that's an okay thing to say. And when they said that, you got ironically butthurt over it. It's ridiculous. You got super upset about it. So then you attack them on something that had nothing to do with it. And now you're in breach of contract. Guess what Disney doesn't lose? Breach of contract lawsuits. Not going to lose that one. And it's obvious. We had a contract. You just broke it. Your Honor, could you please make them give us our money? Like, that's it. So not only are they going to save $1 billion by you now taking over that district, you're going to now have to pay for all of this shit in the contract originally. So now you have to do that. So you double lost. Congratulations. And people are like, Ron DeSantis is a genius politician in Florida. He's taking it to the man. No, he isn't. He sucks at this. Because instead, what you should have done is go, oh, Disney said that? Right. They employ like all of my state? I don't really give a fuck.
Ease off of Disney and pick on this restaurant down the street from me that I could easily fucking crush under my 3-inch boot heel.
Yes.
Because I'm super short.
So. Well, you know, new, look, he's just goofing. New boot goofing. Yeah. Like,
not, 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 uh, funnily enough, not the only story this week about Ron DeSantis' really poor political acumen.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah. This. Now I want to lay the groundwork for this.
Oh, you got to give me the Vivek story, right?
No. The Vivek story can come after. I want to lay the groundwork for this story specifically. So it is illegal for super PACs to directly communicate and strategize with their presidential candidates. Like the way that super PACs are supposed to work is that they're just there to generate a bunch of money that the campaign can then use to do what they have to do. So what you'll see sometimes with super PACs is they will publicly publish things mm-hmm. on like their website or whatever, or they'll send out like press releases and to communicate with the candidates.
Right. So you don't get busted for coordinating.
That they're overseeing. Because if they're not doing it behind closed doors, then it's above board, essentially. You're just putting out a communication, even though very clearly, you know, it's communication pointed towards like, hey, here's what we think you should do, because it would be a really good idea, and we're giving you a shitload of money. So, like,
right.
that's how this story begins, and it's very funny to me.
Yeah, no, go for it. Keep going.
Yeah. So the guy that runs Axiom Strategies. That's a company that's owned by the chief strategist for the Ron DeSantis super PAC.
No conflict.
And a little bit, just a tad. But they decided to publish the debate strategy.
Hell yeah.
For Ron DeSantis on their website publicly. And here's the debate strategy. Now this memo was taken down, but you know, on the internet, nothing is gone forever. Nope. And so here, so they outlined four goals that Ron DeSantis should have on this debate next Wednesday. Goal number one, attack Joe Biden and the media 3 to 5 times. Okay. Reasonable goal, I guess.
Par for the course, right.
Sure. Goal number two, state DeSantis's positive vision 2 to 3 times. I think that's an excellent goal.
Pause. I love that attacking Joe Biden, higher precedent
number one.
Than giving your vision for what America right. should be. Says a lot about you, but go ahead.
Yeah. Number three, and this is where it starts to get very funny. Hammer Vivek Ramaswamy in a response. Why is he calling out Vivek Ramaswamy, you might wonder? Well, that's because Vivek Ramaswamy has somehow climbed above DeSantis to be the number two candidate behind Donald Trump in most polls around the country.
The heir apparent. Right.
So he's got to take down. But number four, and this is where Jay said I told you guys this would happen. I said, wouldn't it be funny if not mm-hmm. only if like DeSantis and these guys didn't attack Donald Trump, but in fact dove in front of the bullets that Chris Christie and Asa Hutchinson are going to be firing at Donald Trump. Stratagem number four, defend Donald Trump in absentia in response to a Chris Christie attack. Hey, this guy's the leading candidate in our party. I want to be the presidential nominee instead of him, but don't you make fun of him when he's not here, because that's not nice, because he can't defend himself.
I even made a TikTok out of that clip where you talked about it. Is there a thing more emasculating than be like, Donald Trump's our hero? You're in a contest against him. I'd be like, oh, really? He's in Donald Trump? What a shame. Anyway, let's fucking rock and roll.
Yeah, sorry, Donald. Guess you should have been here. And then you could have fended off that attack yourself.
Right. Like, if anything, like, I don't know, like fucking piggyback on that shit. Like drop an elbow yourself while the man's down. Like you don't run to be like, let me defend him. And again, Brad, you're 100% right. And now that is out there, when he tries, Chris Christie is going to fucking embarrass you over it. Cause he's going to be like, yeah, I know your little memo told you to do that. And then he's like, and here's why you're a punk bitch about it. And look, Chris Christie's from New Jersey, dude. You think he's not going to be a dick? Of course he's going to be a dick. He can't help it. That's who he is.
Well, and here's the thing, cause this memo is out here. Even if DeSantis doesn't take that bait now. So like, even if Christie fucking fires a salvo off at Trump and DeSantis doesn't jump in to save him, Christie's still going to work in that dig somewhere where like DeSantis will say something and they'll be like, oh, you know, Governor Christie rebuttal. He'd be like, well, I don't know if that was in, you know, in Governor DeSantis's, you know, plan from his super PAC, but blah, blah, blah. You know, all you have to do is just kind of tee it up with that one.
Christie's a dick. Like, but the thing is, it's a bit of his superpower, right? Like that is a bit of his superpower. And I feel like there's a bit of the Republican Party who's like, I like that. Like, I like that about that guy. And even though, like, he hugged Obama or whatever, I think he is going to appeal to a certain amount of Republicans who are not necessarily, like, diehard Trump folks who are going to be like, I like a fighter, though. Like, that's what they like. Of all the things that Republicans like besides fascism is they like strength. They do. And however that comes across, in Donald Trump's case, strength is like making fun of handicapped reporters. And, you know, like it's a twisted version of that, but they like strength. If Christie can come off just like dunking on Ramaswamy or DeSantis, especially, like I think there is a very good chance that if Christie goes really big and hits really hard and, but like hits, but is serious. Not like not out there to be like, let's make some jokes, like, but is out there serious and like really hits him and hits these guys. I think you could literally see Christie being in second place behind Trump, like quickly.
I said it a couple weeks ago. I think he's poised to be the biggest winner out of this debate. Him and Ramaswamy are probably the two. Ramaswamy more so because he's going to be introduced to a lot of people who don't know him.
Yes,
for the first time. Mm-hmm. And if he you know presents himself well, then you know he could rock it up as well. But yeah, Christie is going to be the only one that's not fucking demurring to the other guy. Like even if I don't know if Mike Pence has actually bothered qualifying for the debate yet, but even if Mike Pence is there, Pence is still like he's gonna be like, yeah, January 6th really fucking sucked and that was real bad. But that's the only even slightly negative thing he'll say about Trump. And he probably won't even attack Trump personally. He'll probably just say the same line he's been saying, where it's like, the president was wrong. I did not have the authority to do this thing that he wanted me to do on January 6th. I did my duty as the vice president. And if the president says differently, then he's incorrect. Like that's as far as he'll go.
Donald Trump's incorrect. Way to go. You fucking nailed it.
Well, and if you think about it, Pence can't credibly attack Donald Trump either for anything he did as president because he was fucking along for the ride.
Why are you running? Like, why are you running, dude? Like, it seems very weird that you'd even run for president. All I'm saying is, like, all you need to do is embarrass Ron DeSantis, whoever you are, whether you're Vivek Ramaswamy or Christie or, Nikki Haley, any of them, embarrass Ron DeSantis. Like, go after Trump, of course. Like, that should be your priority. You got to knock him down a couple pegs. But embarrass Ron DeSantis? Like, yeah, you're immediately in second, third place, baby. Like, that's a big jump up. So, and I think
I'm curious to see, like, DeSantis is going to look so bad at this, man. Because, like, he's not a good debater one-on-one.
No, he's not.
When he has people like targeting him from all sides, he's gonna get whiny, he's gonna get frustrated, he's gonna get indignant, he's gonna lose his cool. Like he's gonna be fucking flummoxed on that stage. And I think he's gonna be he's gonna be hurting after the space over. Yeah. Okay, so the Vivek story. So yes. I don't want to forget about this. So Vivek Ramaswamy was on Hugh Hewitt. And I saw a clip from this because Hugh Hewitt was asking him, like, what are you going to do about China? Right. And I think he specifically asked about Taiwan. Like, what would you do if China, started to flex on Taiwan?
I saw the headline, but I don't know the details of this. Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, Ramaswamy's plan to deal with China pursuant to Taiwan is to in the first 4 years of his presidency, his plan is to build the U.S. up to have superconductor independence so that we don't have to get anything from China or Taiwan from an electronics standpoint.
Okay.
And then after that, he doesn't give a shit what happens to Taiwan. He's just like, it's not my fucking problem anymore.
You don't get to be president. So he just like you don't get to be president. Yo. Like, you don't get to be president. Yo, that's sort of laissez-faire.
China wants to fucking roll tanks. And I think Dan Pfeiffer said it best. That is the most fucking technocrat, dumb fuck, business guy answer that you could possibly give to that question.
You sound serious.
Not a shred of human empathy, not a shred of you know, foreign policy know-how. Just like, let's just find the fucking most binary solution to this problem. Let's fucking fit like because the actual problem is not the China-Taiwan relationship. The actual problem is we need to get fucking superconductors from somewhere. So as long as we can fix that issue, then America's problem is solved. And fuck what happens in the rest of the world.
Yeah, like one, Dan Pfeiffer is 100% correct. But at the same time, I laugh, right? Because Ramaswamy's viewpoint is, hey, man, we need to just, you know, we need to just get more semiconductors and all this other stuff, right? Who is the president who pushed to get that done? Was it Donald Trump? No, that's right. It was sleepy Joe Biden who you guys complain about doing the shit that you would want to do. I mean, minus the like not giving a fuck about human beings, that part. But the actual technocratic thing that you're talking about, and that's not the reason Joe Biden is doing it. Certainly not to just give away Taiwan to China. But it's ironic. Like, the best ideas that you can come up with, Democrats are already doing them. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I'm coming up with this idea. Yeah, dude, we talked about that article with the semiconductor ramp up in the U.S. and around the world, thanks to Joe Biden, and basically blocking China from trying to start their own inferior market. We talked about that like 6 months ago. Where the fuck was Vivek Ramaswamy? He was nowhere. He was fucking coming up with some bullshit like, let me rap on the campaign trail nonsense idea, right? These guys don't have any ideas worth a damn. They don't. They simply don't. They don't.
And as an aside, I would think that we would learn the lesson after seeing Donald Trump of, hey, maybe a guy whose prime knowledge base is in the world of business and doesn't know fuck all about government shouldn't be the guy that is at the head of the government. It's probably not a great idea. I think we would have learned that lesson after fucking the Herbert Hoover presidency, but that was like 8 years ago. So I can understand why we would have forgotten about it.
No, I think 100 years. I mean, I think people, they watch All in the Family and they think that they're singing about Herbert Hoover because like everyone loved Herbert Hoover, not just the conservative white people in the suburbs. The dumb conservative ones.
Oh my God. It's weird. Like you elect business people president and then like a couple years into the presidency, like the country goes through massive economic turmoil. Why does that keep happening? I wonder.
Yeah. And when those moments happen, and you need somebody who can understand the human side to these disastrous policies, they are woefully unprepared to deal with them. Mm-hmm. Because Vivek and Trump and Herbert Hoover, all cut from the same cloth, don't know jack shit about being a real person. They just don't, or giving a fuck about a real person. They're barely real people themselves, right? Like, they just don't give a shit. And that is exactly right. Like, that is a shitty tech bro answer. It doesn't take into any level of like human thought process. Like it just like, but what about like people being hurt? I don't give a shit about that. Like they don't care. They don't give a fuck. And that should be disqualifying for president. It should just be fundamentally disqualifying for president. That is a disqualifying answer to me. It is. It's just a disqualifying answer.
It won't be because the general voter in America could not give two shits about foreign policy. It is literally the least important thing unless we're involved in an active war. That's the only time that foreign policy is given a fuck about.
Well, in a presidential election. Republicans care about foreign policy. In fairness, they really, really, really care about foreign policy when they like to use. But what about the money you gave to Ukraine, bro? Like that's all they do. oh, but we could have spent money on stuff here. Really? Because you guys are still fighting to make sure kids don't get free lunches in schools. Knock it the fuck off. But you know, that's a fine debate to have, that kids can just starve.
Yeah.
But that's correct. But you're worried about Ukraine.
Before you bitch about the money going to Ukraine, first you tell me what you want to spend it on, and then we can have the discussion about whether or not it should be spent here or spent over there. Well, I think we should give it back to rich people. Well, then you're fucking dumb. Matters not, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Or why don't we help the homeless here? Okay, you know how they have bills pushed up to help homeless people all the time? Yeah, they come from one party. You know who they get rejected by? One other party, your party. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? Like, that's the thing is, like, a perfect example is, like, recently, getting back to, like, the food, the lunch for kids thing, right? I think it was Massachusetts passed a 4% tax increase on millionaires and above. And so they were like, we're using that tax money to make sure all kids have access to free lunch, like, across the whole state. Republicans nationwide were like, how do we get that law repealed? That was their response. The response to getting kids food was, fuck those kids. What are you, Michael Jordan? What's wrong with you? Dude, that's the biggest slam dunk ever. Hey, should kids get free lunch? Yeah. Okay. Well, what is it costing? It's a 4% increase in taxes for multimillionaires. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Get the kids lunch.
Yeah.
Hey, who cares? Kids are starving at school. What the fuck are you doing? Right? Like, that's a new phenomenon, by the way. It used to be when I was in school, you know, lucky kids had their parents make them, you know, lunch every day, and that was cool, good for them. And the rest of the poor slobs had lunch tickets, subsidized free lunches for everybody. There was no kids sitting there not eating if they didn't have a lunch brought from home. There's literally kids going, oh, I don't have any food. And Republicans are like, yeah, no, that's reasonable. But by the way, we're going to make sure that you have babies that you don't want. Pay for the fucking school lunches, you piece of shit, at least. It's insane. Did you hear that, by the way, speaking of abortion, did you hear that story of the doctors now?
Oh, yes.
Dude.
Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. My God. What okay. A fucking, okay. What a we fucking gotta, insane thing.
Okay. We have to talk about this for people who don't know. This is fucking nuts. So there, Republicans are trying to you know, obviously do push a national ban on abortion, right? This is in Texas, I believe.
So we talked about the first part of this, because the first part of this was when a group of doctors in fucking Amarillo, Texas, filed a challenge to the legality of mifepristone, which is like the morning after pill, being on the market. And they did it in Amarillo, Texas, because they know there's this fucking Trump asshole fucking, you know, young judge named Matthew Kaczmarek, who will basically do whatever Republicans want him to do. And so he somehow was able to put a from his seat in Amarillo, put in a national injunction against mifepristone being sold in the United States, which has been done legally for the last 20 years.
Right.
Now, the Supreme Court, I think, put in a stop on that injunction while the case works its way through the various courts. But it went to the appellate court, also in Texas, also judged by conservative assholes. And they voted to uphold this lower court ruling from Matthew Kaczmarek. But one of the opinions.
Well, hold on. The doctors who are pushing for this, they have to show harm, like that they are harmed, right? So you can't appeal and just be like, well, I just want to appeal. They have to show that they are being harmed by the idea of mifepristone being on the market. So what could be their reason? They're doctors. They're not involved in the situation, right? It's not like, well, that's my kid that could pretend. No. Their argument, this is real. Their argument is, hey, man, it hurts us because we like to see babies being born. And like, we love babies. The pictures of your baby, we like to see them. So you taking this pill that stops you from having a baby does us harm because we like to see babies. What? What kind of fucking argument?
And one of these judges, again, another fucking Trump appointed sycophant. One of these fucking judges.
Ho, was I believe his last name was.
Say again.
I think his last name is Ho. I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of these judges is like, yeah, that sounds completely reasonable. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. He's a newly appointed appellate court judge. He is in a picture with Clarence Thomas, Ted Cruz, and Harlan Crowe. You know,
yeah, and Clarence Thomas's daddy, Harlan Crowe. Yeah. So.
But I love that. We're harmed because we don't get to see those babies. Yo, that's not a legal argument. Yo, that's not a legal argument.
I will say the one thing that does give
sad.
Me the one thing that does give me hope when this eventually ends up in front of the Supreme Court, and it will, is that the doctor's ability that brought this suit to have standing is so fucking tenuous that even this Supreme Court is going to be like, yo, get the fuck out of here. Like, what the fuck? Like, bring us something we can work with, guys.
Like, right. This like guys, we want to do it. Like, we want to do
right.
it. Like, come on. But, it just goes to proof, it has nothing to do with anything but just wanting control over women's bodies. It makes us sad to not see babies. This is what hinges on women's right to their bodies. A dude is like, it's like looking at little babies. Then go online and Google fucking, what's the lady who puts the babies in the pumpkins? What's her name?
Ann Getty.
Yeah, a couple of Ann Getty fucking photos. Like, relax. I think babies are cute. I have a new member of my family. My cousin had a little baby. He's fucking adorable. That doesn't mean I think, oh man, what about all those other potential babies? No women can ever have the morning after pill. That's the way we stop this.
Just think about times where the morning after pill is used. And I'm about to fucking jest about a really fucking extremist situation, but I feel like I need to underline how ridiculous it is. It's like, oh, like, look at this. Like, I'm really sorry you were sexually assaulted and that, you raped and a rapist impregnated you. But just think of how happy seeing that baby in the sonograms is going to make me.
Right. Doctor. Me. That's right. A wild fucking thing to say. But again,
that's essentially what they're saying. Like, damn the circumstances. Like, fuck the reason why the pregnancy happened. I need to be happy seeing that baby kicking around, seeing that little bean in that sonogram, just fucking sitting there doing a whole lot of nothing.
If I can't Google Gaga at pictures of your rape baby, why did I even get a medical degree? Like, what the fuck mental instability is going on in that head for you to even think that is a reasonable thing to say? But Republicans, again, they really are serious people. They really think that they are. That's a wild fucking statement, man. When I heard that story, I actually burst out laughing. It was that insane. I was like, that's not real. Like, that can't be real. Come on, man. Like, it's a real story. That's really what they think makes sense.
And I just want to point out, because I feel like we have to every single time, I don't think Hillary Clinton would have appointed the fucking doctors need to be happy looking at baby judges.
No.
I don't think that would happen.
No, by the way, speaking of Hillary Clinton, because she was a guest on Maddow, the day the indictment came down on indictment night. And that was just by chance. It was just by chance, right? Yes. I'm sure a bit of the team behind booking her was like, fuck yes, we nailed it. like hell yeah. Like, you could not have been happier about that. Holy shit. But I watching Hillary Clinton start that interview out just giggling. It was amazing. It was wonderful to see. But she had a moment in that interview that I really, really enjoyed, which is Maddow was like, so, Trump's got this fourth indictment. Shit's not looking good for him legally, yet he and Joe Biden are tied. And Joe Biden has all these accomplishments. Like, what are your thoughts on that? And you could watch her brain twist and just be like, the same thing is happening to Biden that you fuckers did to me, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, you keep talking about this guy all the time. And you just keep reporting on him all the time. And you give no airtime to Joe Biden. By the way, we're guilty of this too, even on this episode that we're talking, right? This is a sideshow Bob moment.
100%. And look, I get it because it's more fun to talk about the crazy shit that's happening instead of the normal, like, fucking, only Congress passed another bill today. Here's what it goes through, you know? And like I said, that's, you know, but that's not fun to listen to.
Right. And
you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, Joe Biden this week, 840,000 Americans got a letter saying, hey man, your loans are forgiven. Like, don't worry about it. Like, we got you. Like, that's a big fucking deal, right? It didn't even make it to the docket because of all these psychos that are like doing all this other shit, right? In and around Trump. But yeah, like, you could watch her give a very, very personal response. Like, she's like, oh, but this is happening to Joe Biden. But you could tell there was like, ow. Like, she was so mad. You could see it. You could see it. Bothering her. And she's absolutely right.
I'm going to write to Hillary Clinton and just beg her, like, hey, like, when you pass away one day, on your gravestone, can you please just put one phrase? And that phrase is just going to be, dude, I told you. That's all I want.
That's all I want. Like, that, you know what? That's all I want. If anything, Hillary, and we know you're listening, it's fine. I know you're a subscriber. Yes, please. Like, or look, just wear the shirt. Just wear a dude I told you. She went on Crooked Media and Love It or Leave It, and they gave her a shirt that said totally impartial juror, potential juror, which was pretty fucking funny. And she was like, oh, and it's got my name, it's got my my nickname on it because it said Crooked on it, which was pretty good. I was like, yeah. But it was funny because I saw someone on social media and they got fucking dragged for it, rightfully so. They were like, oh, I wish Hillary was talking like this, referring to that interview on Maddow, back in 2016. And people were like, this is exactly how she was talking in 2016. You didn't listen. You just didn't listen. Like, what are you talking about? It's amazing how people, they go through like weird stages, like people who are politically very uninformed or who don't pay attention. First, they don't pay attention to the things that are being said directly in front of them, right? On television. Then that person either gets in power, does a bunch of stuff, they ignore all of that. And then a bad person they disagree with gets into power. They're yelling about all of that. They're yelling about, I wish somebody did this and this and this and this. And people go, yeah, that person you never mentioned or thought was bad, they did all of those things. They tried to do all those things. And then they go, oh, I didn't know that. But then they still don't like really connect it. And then that person that they ignore, that president, will come back, or that politician will come back, like Hillary Clinton, and say things that are like, I wish they were talking like that. Like, they were. You just literally didn't pay attention to the shit. Like, you can watch clips from those debates with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. She told you every single thing that was going to happen. She was 100% correct. And now you're going to probably lose your fucking right to choose, or, you know, when it comes to the morning after pill, based on sad doctors who don't see your baby pictures. And guess what? Wouldn't have happened under Hillary Clinton, like you said. It just wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But people go, oh, well, the Supreme Court, that's overblown. No, it isn't. She said it. You fucking didn't agree with her. You didn't listen.
Much less all the other judges that Trump got to appoint. Again, we're seeing so many instances of these cases that should be left out of court that you just have these fucking hack judges.
Absolutely.
That were appointed that have no business being on the bench. I mean, fuck, in the documents case, like, the fucking judge that's overseeing that.
Exactly.
Has no business being a judge. None.
Zero.
Whatsoever.
No, she's a hack.
She's Jay's age. She never fucking tried a fucking case. Yeah. She'd barely been a lawyer, and she's a lifetime fucking appointment.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Because she's from the Federalist Society. That's it.
Right.
Next up, U.S. government seeks 33 years for ex-Proud Boys leader over capital attack. Your boy Chris Terrio, ruiner of cool hats. I'll never forgive him. I really won't. That will be his legacy for me. U.S. Justice Department is seeking 33 years in prison for Enrique Terrio. I said Chris Terrio. Enrique, excuse me. And like, not to bury the lead here, but they're looking at terrorism charges for January 6th. Mm. Good. That works for me. I love it. 33 years sounds pretty good to me. This is a big boy sentence. Look, you do big boy things, you go to big boy prison. So fine by me. Yep.
Now, again, it must be said, that's what the prosecution's going to ask for. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that's what the judge is going to hand
down. Correct.
But given the seriousness of the charges, I would expect Mr. Terry to be going to jail for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Look, if it's 10 or more, I'd be pretty happy. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, again, I think the benchmark is the Stuart Rhodes sentence, and he went to jail for 18 years. So.
You know, the government. You know, the government is actually looking to increase that. Because,
oh, really?
Yes, because the judge gave below the minimum. They were like, nah, B, bring that back up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he got 18 years. I think the minimum's like 20 or 25. They were like, no, we want more. Which, by the way, is hilarious because he's not going to live 18 years. He's not. But they're just like.
Right? Well, he could. Remember, he's younger than you think he is. He's like in his mid-50s.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He just looks ancient because he's evil.
Okay, then 50. Then give him 50 years. I want a guaranteed death in prison. Like, I want him to die, and then they just put his corpse in a cell for another 10 years. Like, that's what I want. That's not how it works, but it should work like that. They shouldn't bury you. Like, you should stay unburied that entire time. Like, they won't bury you and give you a proper funeral until you've served all of your time. Next up, This Week in Stupid, our final story, I wrote cave woman can't decide whether to unga or bunga. Marjorie Taylor Greene may not run for re-election. What? Are you serious? Flame-throwing GOP representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has suggested she might not defend her seat in Congress next fall after two commanding victories in Georgia's 14th district. Apparently, Governor Brian Kemp has been weighing a run for the U.S. Senate in 2026 after he's done being governor, and she's thinking, I might challenge him for that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Spoiler alert. You're not going to beat Brian Kemp. Like, you're not, you know, like, you're not. No, I want no, you to try.
Probably, she probably wouldn't. She probably wouldn't.
So. No, I don't think so. I mean, I think she doesn't have much appeal out of that wackadoodle district she's from. Like, I really don't think she has. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are Republicans all over the country who, for some god-awful reason, like her. But I don't think she's going to have that kind of power across all of Georgia. No. I think.
No, especially considering the outcome of their last. You know, three Senate elections that they've had between, you know, the Ossoff election and the two Warnock elections.
Right. Like,
and you had more,
I'm not sure,
arguably more palatable candidates than her fight, you know, running against those right. guys.
I'm not sure Brian Kemp can win a Senate seat in Georgia, honestly. I don't know that he can. Mm-hmm. Like, part of the reason he won the last two governorships in Georgia was because he was basically in charge of elections and fucking rigged it. Like, especially the first time he beat Stacey Abrams, he absolutely did. And then he threw off like
the Secretary of State.
Yeah. And he threw off a couple hundred people off the voter rolls. And then he did it again he basically oversaw it happening again. So I'm not so sure that he could actually win a legitimate race against a Democrat for Senate. I'm not so sure he could. And I guess he'd be running against Ossoff.
He would be, yes.
And Ossoff's pretty popular. People like him.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, is that, again, like, Democrats are going to be banging the drum of, look how much we're stymied by the fact that, you know, look, I mean, fuck, look how much we're handcuffed now because of the House being in Republican hands. So you got to do everything you can to keep the Senate in that boat as well. And it's also very good odds that the Senate will flip in the presidential election, even if Biden wins, just because the math is not favorable for Democrats. And so you might have 2 years of Republican fuckery in the Senate that might be encouraging people to then go out and vote, flip that back blue again as well in a midterm election. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. It's not a favorable map for Democrats. But I don't know, man. Like, there's one thing that, you know, we have to constantly consider, which is abortion rights are still a very raw issue for Democrats. And it mm-hmm. and the thing is, I'm not sure it's going to go away anytime soon.
Well, and not only that, but I one thing that is really interesting that Democrats have not really been laying in RE the Senate, and it's still super early, so you know I wouldn't expect it necessarily. But not only can they say, hey, we can get more done and perhaps codify abortion rights if we had control of the Senate and the House and the presidency, but senators especially can be like, hey, if we have any Supreme Court vacancies, do you want to make sure that no fucking whack job right-wing judges get elected to the mm-hmm. Supreme Court to take away your rights? Like, then you want us there, because if it's if Republicans have 50 votes in the Senate, you're going to get whatever fucking Frankenstein's cooked up in the Federal Society to secede Clarence Thomas, and he's going to be – and that dude's going to be there for the next 40 fucking years.
Yep.
So if you want us to, if you want us to fucking protect the Supreme Court, you need to make sure the Senate stays blue.
Yeah. And look, that's I need – especially I need young and minority voters to take that shit seriously this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I know, look, black folks, we, you know, we on it, but some of us are getting a little easily dragged over to the right. Like the Supreme Court matters, man. Like, it matters a lot. It matters almost more than any other race at this point.
She also, Marjorie Taylor Greene also said, like, oh, like, what if I'm in President Trump's cabinet? What if I'm his VP? Now, we've talked about the VP part of it before on the show, and I think that would be a abnormally bad idea for him to pick her as running mate were he to win the primary. Because again, like, you need to get median voters to vote for you. Electing a fucking nut job like her is not going to do that. But Jay, what cabinet position would Trump nominate Marjorie Taylor Greene for if he were to somehow become president and she was not his running mate? What cabinet position could you see Marjorie Taylor Greene occupying?
Okay. I'm going to decline to answer that. And here's why.
Okay.
I don't think the best position for her is in the cabinet. I think there's another position. One a little very doesn't really jump out at anyone, but it is right in line with her expertise.
Chief Pants Steamer?
Yuck. No, I think she has a history of interest in space. I think running Space Force is what she needs. Who else is gonna take down the Jewish space lady? Like who else is gonna do it? Like she is the one for the job. No, but if I had to pick a cabinet position, like, that would be really disastrous for America. Like, I feel like head of Health and Human Services could possibly be the worst choice for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I'm going to do you one further. I, like,
and, oh, yeah, because she's I like, she hates the vaccine and shit. Like, yeah, HHS would be where they put her.
I would kill to see this. And by I would kill to see it, I really mean I would be fucking mortified, and I would be and there's no way I could ever leave this country because no one would ever want me after this. I would love to see what a Marjorie Taylor Greene Secretary of State position looks like.
Dude,
how many wars could she accidentally start with our allies?
Oh my
just through
God.
Her rhetoric.
Oh my God, dude, it'd be like,
is there any way in which we're not getting into an armed conflict with your new country at any point once she's Secretary of State?
Within weeks. Yeah, Secretary of State, that's a wild choice. Yeah, there's so many she could screw up. Like, even transportation, I wouldn't trust her. I really wouldn't trust her to handle it. Yeah, I feel like, yes, Secretary of State's pretty good. Like, that's pretty good.
She could form like a new like treaty organization with like Russia and like Belarus and a lot of other countries like that. It could be called something like the, you know, the new alliance of zealous zealous insurgents.
I figured that's where you were going. I figured that's where you were going. I was like, what letter is he gonna, what word is he gonna use for X? I was waiting on it. I was waiting on it. That's good. That's waiting on it. Yeah, I mean, you know, American xylophone inspectors of series. I don't know, but yeah, it's disaster, yo, disaster. Imagining her being in the cabinet in any role would be wild. Though here's a good one. She could do less harm, but it would also be really funny. Press secretary. That would actually be great because she's a nutcase and she would say crazy things every day. Though. Oh, yeah, of course.
You're supposed to go from press secretary to like an actual government job. You're not supposed to go the other way.
Yeah. No, she could then have her own show on Fox after that.
Trying to think of other cabinet secretaries. Like, obviously, Trump would make Tim Scott the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. He's perfectly qualified in Trump's eyes.
Yes. So. Well, I mean, he seems urban enough.
That's right.
God, that's so fucking racist. It's the only reason why he put Ben in that position. That was it.
Yeah.
That's it. You're black, urban, like
100%. Hey, I used to be a doctor. Maybe I shouldn't help the human services. No. Urban housing. That's right. that's your right. jam.
The thing he could have actually been reasonably qualified to do.
But I was a brain surgeon. Like, we'll use that smart brain to fucking fix this housing crisis.
Which he did not. Like, just a racism.
And he was there all 4 years. Like, I can't believe he never left.
He was one of the few. Well, he had just gotten that new furniture paid for. So, like,
that's true.
I mean, him and his terrible singing ass wife. Yeah. Now they're not going nowhere. What a joke. All right, that is it for us. We will be back next week post the debate. Yeah, that's going to be a doozy, man. That's going to be a doozy. I can't wait. So you can guarantee we will have a lot of clips next week because I'm going to tee those fucking things up, and we are going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned hoedown laughing at these people. So, all right, that's it for us. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.